That is a helicopter. Actually, it's two helicopters circling high above me as I lay on the ground at Rock Creek Guard Station, deep in the Bob Marshall Wilderness. I've had an event of some sort, an episode of a wildly fast heart rate, even while walking on the flats. It's made me fatigued in this weird way. I'm heavy, I'm leaden, and I'm nauseated, on the verge of fainting. And maybe most troubling, I'm gasping for air. Is this what a heart attack feels like? Still, I'm ashamed and I'm embarrassed. I feel as if I'm wasting their time. This should just pass. I'll get up and I'll climb out of here. But when I try to stand up, I have to go right back down on the ground. You're listening to the Blissful Hiker Podcast. I'm Allison Young, the Blissful Hiker, sometime professional flutist, sometime voice artist, and full-time pedestrian. Thanks to Leckie and Belega for their support. Also Summit Orthopedics, my choice for two total hip replacements. I guess you could call me a bionic blissful hiker these days. My goal in sharing stories of walking long-distance trails as a solo, female, middle-aged, titanium-reinforced hiker is to empower you to learn to hike your own hike, too. I leave Greg's house in East Glacier before the sun is up as the birds sing. They're my friends now. They're only from these parts and create a soundtrack to my walk. I lose the trail momentarily as I leave, but someone's put up a big sign that says, "Trail," with an arrow. I move along a grassy forest road at first, then straight into overgrown bushes taller than me, the trail a kind of shadow indented in the foliage. It's not that hard to navigate in and of itself. It's just there's no way of knowing what's beneath the plants. A rock? A hole? I step carefully, my pants soaking wet, mosquitoes finding me. That permethrin treatment pretty much faded in the intense sun and sweat. I need a lot of breaks as I cross one creek after another. I'm slackpacking since Greg offered to swing by with my huge food bag at the campground. But I'm surprised it doesn't seem to make all that much difference. I'm not really walking faster or easier. It's odd that I'm so fatigued. Is it the heat? Massive Lyell's Angelica and Bishop's Flower tower over me. I can see the mountains to my right flanking the trail, but the scene is less dramatic than what I had in Glacier. Eventually, I come upon the group I arrived with, slackpacking from the other side, running, actually, and telling me the way they're going is far superior to mine. One tells me how she plans to walk the Bob Marshall Wilderness, 20-mile days, she says, and that the word is that the actual CDT has fewer blowdowns than the alternate. I make some quick calculations of how I'm going to manage what's to come, seeing that it will likely have to be managed all on my own. The raven-haired beauty and her boyfriend come by at that point, and she makes it very clear she still isn't going to talk to me. This simply is not fun. But the trail begins to get easier. It's more in the forest and covered in needles. It's hot, and I'm tired, but I move faster, and I come to the train tracks crossing Mariah's Pass. A train is slowly chugging up the hill, and I do have time to cross in front of it, but I've got to take some selfies at the Continental Divide sign, so I wait while it slowly comes towards me, and it stops. The conductor asks if I need to pass. "I'll wait for you," he says, and I wave as I step over the rails to his two toots. At the parking lot, a lovely couple from Whitefish offer me a cold Corona. I crave conversations with locals, interesting people doing interesting things and laughing with me at the ridiculousness of walking through overgrown weeds for 15 miles to get here today. At least we can see the mountains now, ancient seas crushed, lifted up, cooked, and laid out in strata. That's where I want my remains to be, as part of a mountain somewhere. The campground is surprisingly quiet except for the trains, which are actually calming. The following day, I still hear them as I face blowdowns, ones that actually turned back two strong men, both feeling physical limitations and not willing to move on. Should I have done the same thing rather than plunge headlong? Well, I don't. I go right into those. And I bet you're wondering, what exactly is a blowdown? Well, it's a tree that's uprooted and fallen to the ground like a giant's toothpick. Maybe it wasn't technically blown down by wind, but it's fallen down, usually loosened by the fact that it was in a forest fire. The area I walk in is a burn area, open to views but filled with charred tree trunks, stripped of branches, and many a ghostly light gray from the sun. They're kind of like loose teeth ready to fall out, and I guess they can at any time, right on me. But that's not my biggest concern right now. It's the fact that so many lie across my path. And they're not like hurdles to cross. They're more like jungle gyms laying atop each other and seemingly impossible to negotiate positions. I step over in huge, wide steps. I crawl under on my belly. I climb up like stairs very carefully so as not to fall. I hoist myself up, straddle, and try to shimmy over one to the next. I'm terrified that my balance, my weight, the fact that I can't really jump too well with new hips, might do me in. I move like a tiny bug, slowly making progress, very, very slowly, as the blowdowns go on seemingly forever, covering 7 miles. I rip my pants on sharp branches, lacerating my skin. I'm bruised, my hands are black from the charred wood. I'm sweating and struggling as the trail goes up and then down steeply to water, making the blowdowns even harder to cross. I wisely take breaks at every water source, and that's when my first episode hits. My heart racing and my body so weak I can't catch air. It's tachycardia, my self-diagnosis, and something that I thought was brought on by lack of electrolytes. So I eat, I drink, and I wait it out, just as the others arrive, of course, bragging how cool this is, that it breaks up the walking while I struggle with my heart rate. I told you that I've self-diagnosed. I have had it before. In an extremely remote spot in the Paria Canyon on the Utah-Arizona border, and then twice on the Te Araroa, where I just waited it out and it went away, leaving me surprisingly strong afterwards. But now I feel heavier and sluggish. But I eventually just push on, walking for about a quarter mile in a blissful forest of butterflies, wildflowers, and filtered light, before being deposited right back into a burn zone. I meet the clique of hikers again at a water source who tell me they've been here for so long and they quickly get up to leave. Okay, I accept that we're all responsible for ourselves, in spite of the fact that all I asked of the two women who I drove to the start was to stay with me through bear country. They don't ask how I'm doing or what my plans are or what might work best for me. Maybe they can't see that I'm in distress. Maybe I don't show it. I realize I'm older, like by a lot, 3 decades. I'm funny looking, all covered up from the sun. I don't move fast, though I still go far. And I want different things. I want to be quiet. I want to go to sleep early and get up at dawn for the best light and air. I make it through the blowdowns and the trail meets a horse path, which I should have taken from the start. It's wide, it's cleared, it's flat. It's still beautiful with views of mountains and wildflowers and rushing clear-as-glass streams. We camp where we're told not to at the ranger cabin, music playing on the speakers like a dance club. I really don't fit here. I'm not looked after, and I feel so much anxiety about that. When I ask if I should just break off and do my own thing, they tell me it's all in my head. Nonetheless, I wake up with my birds again and leave quietly before dawn, trying in every way I can to capture my bliss and also to be brave with what is becoming obvious is a journey I will take all on my own. You're listening to the Blissful Hiker Podcast. In a series of personal essays coupled with found sound and my own flute playing, this podcast explores my journey of self-discovery, sharing the sometimes unglamorous but vital truth about empowerment as a badass woman who doesn't need permission to blaze my own trails in this journey we call life. I'm feeling far more badass this morning as the trail heads straight up on an overgrown path to a magical high point looking out on low mist. The air is a bit cooler, the flowers a bit brighter, the views a bit more satisfying. My walk is a balcony in a semicircle over a rushing stream below. I pass a village of ground squirrels alerting their comrades in a squeaky toy peep of protest. Of course, I'm calling out for bears every step I take, especially when I return to the forest in a long series of switchbacks, easily popping me over the top and down a fairy forest of butterflies in blue, yellow, and orange. I ford streams and stop to dry out my pruny feet and eat, drink, relax in the sunshine that is finally not quite so enervating. I wonder if I should go on or just camp on my own somewhere. Is even walking alone safe? So many CDT hikers do it without thinking twice about it. They even wear headphones and just plunge right in. But I continue to the site we'd planned on, meeting several hikers from the clique and the raven-haired beauty. They took a shortcut and missed the magical climb. One I realized was so glorious because I never crossed a blowdown. The trail was clear and easy. But tomorrow has new challenges. In spite of the fact that the Spotted Bear Pass alternate is filled with blowdowns, it is 13 miles shorter, and everyone plans to take it. I'm pretty unsure I can manage all that, but no one is going my way. Just take this shortcut, I'm told by one of the ones I drove up, who points to the map that we had planned to share. I wisely put maps on my phone, and I take a picture of that shortcut on her map. And then I hang my food and I go to sleep early to get a jump on the next day. It's not like I'm obviously pushed aside. It's more a feeling of not being part of the discussion, that plans are made without my contribution, and I'm more told what's going to happen than asked my opinion. I've worked in situations like this before, where you have no power or agency in the group, and you just kind of fumble your way through. The morning is covered in mist, and I take advantage of it in a long walk through the burn area. I wonder if I should just try to stay caught up and go with them through the Spotted Bear Pass. But right now, it's pure magic. The wildflowers exploding in the open area, touched with tiny dew droplets, glowing against the somber sky and towering trunks. I'm moving fast now. My body is strong. My breathing is good. From the trail, I see fields of fallen logs, but not one of them's in my way. The mountain views get more rugged, too, of uplifts like tipped landing strips, snow-covered and reaching for the sky, now clear and blue. But I do realize that it would be damn foolish to go up that pass with all the blowdowns. I can go my own way and take that shortcut that was recommended and make this whole thing a shorter run. I've got plenty of food and water, and right now I feel good. I just can't do another long series of climbing over dead objects. At the turnoff, the CDT takes a sharp left and parallels the trail for a moment. I see two of the clique and I call out to them the decision I've made to stay safe. They don't stop me or discuss my choice, but they're nice enough. Hope to see you again. And I take responsibility for breaking off on my own. But it was inevitable, right? Even with them on the pass, I'd be far behind and I'd be struggling. At least this way I stand a chance of getting through without falling or shredding my skin. It's getting hot now in the exposed area far above Strawberry Creek. I ford it and stop for food as flies buzz me in the tiny bit of shade from a stunted pine. I move well up and down, steep sidling above the river. I come to one more ford with beautiful flat grassy areas to camp. But it's way too early. It's only 2.5 miles to the next stream, and I've got all afternoon. Was that my first mistake? I walk through a meadow riddled with wildflowers and peeping squirrels. Somehow I lose the trail for a moment and head to a stream. How odd I pass it, I think, bushwhacking through thick plants uphill. Well, the afternoon is young, and it's just up here. Yeah, here it is. Here's the trail. And then it's just up over the pass. And I feel good. until blowdowns. Blowdowns upon blowdowns, and they're uphill on a ramp, as far as the eye can see. I cry, I scream, I lament, and then I climb. Okay, tell me, if a tree falls in the forest and Allison has to climb over it and no one's there to hear her protest, did she make a noise? I really, really blew it. I've only got a half liter of water, and this could take all afternoon. But there's no other choice unless I want to walk back to the water below. I suppose I could, but maybe it will be clear at the top. I press on, ripping my pants and scraping my knees as I crawl below one, a limb shredding my pack. At the top, I drink all of the water, certain that it's not far now to the stream, and it's just got to be clear on the other side. Well, it's not. It's worse. It's blowdowns on top of blowdowns on top of blowdowns, actually crushing a bridge. Well, of course, I do make it to the water, and I drink a lot, and I eat, and I rest. That was pretty stupid to assume I'd have no blowdowns and the trail would be clear. That was pretty stupid not to carry more water. And maybe that was stupid to think I could camp here in this lumpy bit of land. But I do. Maybe the worst sleep yet. But I'm out from the bugs, and I made a professional food hang up in a tree. You guessed it? It's a blowdown, high in the air. The following day, I meet the shortcut, as well as six guys camping, wondering how I manage all this alone. I also meet a family with horses, who offer me a ride across the ford. It's exhilarating, it's scary. I slide off the horse and run up the hill, thrilled with my adventure. Wow, what's that? Am I walking too fast? Is it the going uphill? What the hell was it that just set my heart going fast? I mean, really, really fast. I slow down as the horses pass, who are then also slowed down by more blowdowns. Is this my hips? My age? My surgeries? Maybe it's COVID. My heart is beating fast and I'm heavy and tired. I plod on through wild and open country, the mountains craggy and close. The sky gets dark and clouds build as a storm approaches, and I walk in rain under my umbrella, not bothering to attach it to my pack, and just carrying my sticks in one hand. It's a long walk through a massive meadow, my pants soaked by the grasses. I reach a cabin, really a collection of old farm buildings, and spread out on the covered porch to dry, eat, and recoup. It's gorgeous here on this wide expanse, surrounded by mountains, and I'm all alone. I feel better right away once I sit down. When the rain stops, I gather up and rejoin the CDT, fording a creek and climbing up to expansive views of my cabin rest. I enter forest and I call out to the bears.
Hi, bears!
And I'm so tired. But ahead is a flat spot to camp by a creek. It's all mine, with one spectacular blowdown tree where I can hang my food.
Hi, bear.
I eat, I drink, I rest, and I feel good. So why on the next morning does the fast heart rate kick in again? I can feel it coming on. It's like a pressure in my chest and then nausea. And then it just starts going, even on flat ground. My pack feels so heavy, and I'm so heavy walking an interminable 4 miles to another Forest Service hut, where I simply collapse on the porch. It never occurs to me to ask for help. Surely this is going to pass, and I can just go slow. Heck, I can even take a zero at this cabin. It is locked, but I can set my tent and wait it out. I passed another tent on the way. Maybe that person will arrive and help me decide what to do. Oddly, when I begin to feel better, feeling the most relaxed and just enjoying this gorgeous place of tall trees, dappled light and a calming breeze, I begin to gasp. It's as though I've forgotten how to breathe, and I need to suck hard to get it into my lungs in big mouthfuls, though not enough comes in. I'm not entirely alone. I mean, the people from the tent never come, but Richard and I communicate through satellite, though it takes time, and it's hard to understand what's happening. As I struggle, there's a moment of clarity. I don't know exactly what this is, but it's something. It's not because I'm not drinking or eating, or that I'm tired or unready for the rigors of the trail. My body is in distress. I'm safe at this cabin for the moment, but ahead is uphill, it's exposed, and who knows what could happen to me? I could pass out and maybe become a bear snack. And what about those friends I traveled with who agreed to stay close? Well, okay, they're not really friends. They're hiking their own hike. I'm hurt and I'm disappointed that I put my trust in them, but it was my decision to take the easier trail to protect myself, which left me alone. It's not their fault this happened, but it sure would have been nice to have someone here right now in this moment. The sky is an eggshell blue with big puffy clouds floating past. The pines sway in the breeze and flies buzz me but never bite. Thru-hiking is so frenetically focused on getting miles, there are few moments as heavenly as this one. Though I should say that in my first 2 weeks of the Continental Divide Trail, I've had them, sitting atop Triple Divide in Glacier National Park for hours, walking in the early morning before the sun has heated up the trail, studying the impressive abundance of wildflowers one by one, soaking my thighs in a cold lake under an umbrella, and enjoying every cooling step in a fast-moving stream when I needed to ford it. I'm sick right now, and I need to have this fixed. But I've walked the CDT, 200 miles of it, and will get better and walk some more. I wrote this sentence in a bio about me, that my goal in life is to walk until I drop. Okay, I think I want to revise that goal. Let's see if maybe we can avoid the dropping part. Let's see if maybe I can live a little bit longer. Long enough to return. And that's when I hit the SOS. You can subscribe to Blissful Hiker wherever you get your podcasts and leave a review on Apple if you're listening there. That helps the show get discovered. Blissful Hiker is on Patreon right now. You can find a link to Patreon in the show notes or at blissfulhiker.com. And that website is also where you can find other episodes, the blog, you can see pictures, and you can contact me, blissfulhiker.com. Next week, it's my journey home to wellness and aiming myself back to the trail. Until then, my friends, kia kaha and happy trails.